Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We go to Indianapolis, Indiana, the site of the combine.
Yes.
And we are joined by Paul Dottino. P. Dot, how you been?
Indeed. Is it you?
Hey, P-Dot? Guys. Great to talk to you. It's my third day out here. And to be honest with you, I've run its course for me. I'm ready to get back to Jersey. I will tell you this, though. This afternoon, we will have our pressers with the two superstar quarterbacks in this draft, or at least the headline-grabbing quarterbacks in Haskins and Murray. So that's something that everybody is looking forward to.
All right, now where do you stand as the giantologist that you are? That's a new word I just threw out.
That's a great one. I like that word, Joe.
There you go.
Can that go on the resume?
Yeah, whatever you want to do. Where what is the Paul Dottino game plan going into the draft? Let me hear this.
You want me to play Dave Gettleman?
Yes,
I do.
Is that
what you want me to do?
I do, yes.
All right, well, I'm not going to give you the Bostonian accent because that's not me.
No, don't do that.
Okay. What I'm doing is I am drafting the best possible edge rusher at number 6, and I am drafting, in all honesty, the best possible right tackle early in the second round, and I am doing everything I possibly can to trade up to get a third-round pick so that I can take another defensive player who has a chance to start for this team. Mm. They don't have a third-rounder right now because
Sam
the
Beal,
third-rounder yeah. was used in the supplemental draft for Sam Beal, the cornerback last year. He redshirted because he was on injured reserve. He had that arm surgery, as you recall. They really like him a lot. He watched practice all last year. He did a lot of film work and tape work and book work. They are very high
Is
on him.
Is he a starter next
a lot of people.
Is he a starter on this team? Okay.
Yes.
All right.
I'm talking to people here who tell me anywhere between second round value to as low as possibly early fourth round if he had been in this draft. Mm. But as high as second round value. Gettleman himself said he thinks he would have been a second round pick in this draft. I know last year I had somebody tell me that they thought he would actually compete for playing time last year had he been healthy. They were that high on him. They have a very, very lofty opinion of this player from the get-go. And now, obviously, they're forced to have one because Eli Apple was traded in the middle of last season. They don't have anywhere else to turn.
Do you, from what you've seen, do you like the quarterbacks? Do you like Haskins? Do you like Murray? Even Locke
obviously
and Greer?
Obviously, you don't, because you would not go for a quarterback
in
the draft.
You still may like him. You just may not want to draft a quarterback, though.
Well here's the thing. First of all, the quarterbacks are going through their interview sessions today, and then they'll throw beginning tomorrow. So we have not been able to ascertain any details other than their measurements, which, you know, obviously everything blew up yesterday when Murray came in at a shade over 5'10 instead of the potentially 5'9 that some people thought he would be, and his weight was a 207. My suspicion is he probably had about 10 meals at St. Elmo's and drank many gallons of Gatorade before that weigh-in. But, hey, that be that as it may. No, guys, honestly, as I look at these quarterbacks, I don't think, much like last year when you're at number 6, I don't think you're in a position to take a high-risk player. I think you pretty much have to be almost 90, 95% sure that guy's going to hit for you. The Giants are not in a position where they can make a mistake at number 6. They've got to be very, very, very confident. As someone said to me, at number 6, it's got to be the kind of guy that you would jump up on the table and slam your fist down and say, I have such conviction about him, we've got to have this guy. I don't think I could do that about any of these quarterbacks, okay? Mm-hmm. I just don't. Mm-hmm. And even though Gettleman has said he likes the Kansas City plan of having the veteran mentor a rookie for a year, which is what they did with Alex Smith and then Pat Mahomes, in a perfect world, that's what he said he wants to do. And he said he'd love nothing more than during his tenure to get the Giants' next franchise quarterback, like what Andrew Accorsi brought Eli Manning here. Remember, Accorsi is his mentor. So he wants to do that. But what I tell people is, well, but Gettleman plans on being here for 4, 5, 6 years. He's not a 1 or 2 year quick fix GM who's out the door right away. So he doesn't have to get one this year if he doesn't feel pound the fist on the table strong about it.
But if you, but when
I don't
that,
feel that way.
But Paul, when does that eventually happen? Eli's 38. At some point, they're going to have to do it, even if it isn't pound the fist. I love this guy.
No, it does have to be. You know why it does,
why?
Evan? Because when you're picking at 6 and with the bust rate of quarterbacks in the first round, I'm going to give you a piece of information in a second and get your pencils and pads ready, because it's a piece of history that really indicates how dangerous it is to take the guy at 6 at quarterback who is not a pound the fist guy. Okay. They're not in a position that they can afford to make that kind of mistake. And Eli, clearly, from everything that Shurmur and Gettleman have said, this is not just my evaluation. He's good enough to play this season and maybe even next season. As I've said to you, he's on a year-by-year thing. I don't think necessarily it's automatic today that we say Eli Manning is done at the end of the 19th season. I've already suggested to you guys before, it wouldn't shock me if there was one more year added to his deal to help the salary cap number, and maybe next year he's the mentor for whoever it is that you draft. But here's the history lesson.
Yeah, go ahead.
Since the AFL and NFL merged in 1970 and became the NFC and the AFC, only 5 quarterbacks have been taken in the number 6 overall slot in the draft. Fellas, it shows you how risky it can be. 1976, Richard Todd to the Jets.
Oh, dude,
I don't think
great.
I have to tell you about that.
No, please.
1981, Rich Campbell to Green Bay. Mm. 1987, Kelly Stouffer to the St. Louis Rams. Mm. 1992, David Klingler to the Cincinnati Bengals.
So far, Todd's the best in the group.
Yeah, 1994, Trent Dilfer to Tampa Bay.
Wow.
But Paul, I love history lessons. I think that's kind of irrelevant, though, because you're using the specific number 6. What about 8, 10, 12, 14, 3, 7, 9?
Here's why it is relevant.
Why?
Right. It doesn't necessarily apply specifically to the players we're talking about. But why is it relevant? Because people reach and overreach for quarterbacks. That's what happens, especially in the first round.
I agree with that.
Guys will draft them
no question.
Much, much higher than they're supposed to be.
Yeah,
and
no
I
doubt.
Think all of us would agree that all 5 of those guys were drafted much higher than they should have been.
But, Paul, do you agree?
Because teams were desperate.
And I agree with that statement. I don't disagree with that at all. But would you agree, if you look around the league, and sure, there's Tom Brady and there's Russell Wilson, who's a third-round pick, most of the time, the successful quarterbacks are first-round picks.
Most of them.
Of them are.
Yes. Yeah. Joe Montana's in that group, too, of the outliers.
He was a
third-round. No question.
Round.
But, no, absolutely. And there are outliers, not denying, but most of the time. Yeah. So, eventually, you got to get one.
Well, that is true.
But when is it?
But you know what, Evan? You got to have conviction on the guy.
Sure.
You got to really believe that you like him, especially if he's going to be in the top 10.
So you do not think the Giants will try to trade up and get a quarterback in the first round? That's what you're saying?
I would be really shocked if that happens. I know I certainly wouldn't, and I don't think they will.
Okay.
I think of the quarterbacks in the draft, Haskins is the guy who fits their needs the most.
Yes.
Because he's got the pocket style. He's got the arm.
Size.
He was very productive. And obviously, he didn't play very much, only a year as a starter. So he's going to need to sit for a season. There's no way you would put him into the starting lineup right away. He will need to sit for a year. So he would fit the Giants' plan. And I truly believe that Gettleman and Shurmur probably want to have him be a slam the fist on the table guy. But here's where it gets sticky. I truly believe that there are edge rushers in this draft that are slam your fist on the table guys.
But let me say that. I want to ask you this, though. Okay. And I agree with you. But are they going to be sitting there at 6 for you? I mean, you're specifically talking Bosa and Allen, really. Specifically.
No, I'm talking, I happen to like Clelin Ferrell from Clemson.
Okay.
Okay. I think he is a Justin Tuck type.
All right.
And I really, really like him. And if you watch the championship game, when he destroyed Jonah Williams, who some people think is a top five pick as an offensive tackle, others think he's going to move inside the guard because they don't think he's good enough.
I'm
not a big Jonah Williams fan, to be honest with you. I don't. We had a chance to interview him yesterday. I did not like his personality, and I quite frankly am not sure that he's going to be able to compete as a left tackle in the NFL. Big for me when in the biggest game of your career you come up small.
Sure.
And Ferrell destroyed him in that championship game.
What did you
not
like about his personality?
Consequently, I'm sorry.
What did you not like about his personality? Because that jumped out at me that you said that. What about his personality did you not like?
Well, fellas, I think that the offensive line is the most important position when you start talking about personality, because it's the sum of the parts that has to be cohesive. Guys have to be like a brotherhood. They've got to be fun. They've got to have a kind of personality that lights up a room, that helps you get along with people, that shows that you're unselfish, that you'll do anything and everything above the call of duty to get it done. In talking to him yesterday, some of the notes I wrote down, he is overly confident to the point where I thought it was a little bit obnoxious. Mm. I thought he was he really put me off. One of the things he came right out and said, he goes, "I'm the best tackle in college football." Really? So in the biggest game of your career, you came up small and got eaten alive by Ferrell, and you're the best tackle in college football? That's a little bold for me. He also said that, what were the other things that I said? He said, somebody said to him, "Well, you know, we don't necessarily, you know, agree with that." And he goes, "Just watch the film. Just watch the film." And, you know, I didn't have the guts to challenge him on the Clemson game, but he was arrogant, to be perfectly honest with you. Mm. And I don't think, with the chemistry that the Giants have developed in their room, especially in the offensive line room at the end of last season, with very jovial kind of guys like Pulley and Brown, who really helped bring that line together, I don't think you need another Eric Flowers in there.
Ooh.
You don't need another Bobby Hart in there. Guys who are not only less than talented compared to what you really are looking for, but also had such a put-off personality that they were loners in that locker room.
Right.
You can't have that amongst your offensive line, guys.
Mm. Talking to Paul DeTino.
By the way, Paul, I got to give you a lot of credit. I love the fact that you just...
I know. You've given me a lot to digest, haven't I? Yeah.
No, you've been awesome today. And I
got more to ask him. I ain't let him go
absolutely.
Yet.
I just want to say, I love how he said, and I admit, I didn't have the guts to challenge him on it.
Yeah,
you're like staring at this giant offense. You're like, I'm not messing around.
Right.
So I do respect that you admitted that.
Well, Paul knows he's not Colin Farrell.
No. Of course.
So, anyway, Paul DeTino out at the Combine. All right, how realistic is the Giants of trading Odell Beckham?
Guys, I'm losing here. I don't know why, but all of a sudden the signal's going bad.
I wonder why.
Were you being funny or no?
No, I'm not being funny. I'm not being funny. I didn't hear your last question at all.
Can you hear me now?
At the moment, you're coming in and out, but go ahead.
How realistic is it trading Odell Beckham?
Oh, I think if they get bowled over, absolutely bowled over,
mm-hmm.
I think, you know, they're going to take a $16 million dead cap hit, which really is not a smart thing to do. It would require them basically getting Herschel Walker kind of deal.
Mm, right,
you know,
right.
When the Vikings absolutely went
with
bonkers.
Dallas. Yes.
With Dallas. And what'd they wind up with, 9 bodies for him?
Whatever. Yeah, that basically set up, 3 championship teams, really.
Now, if someone's going to do that, I'd trade him too. You know,
okay.
But I don't necessarily think that's going to happen. I think that's a once in a lifetime situation, and Jerry Jones and the Cowboys obviously benefited from it. But short of something like that, no, I don't think he's going to be traded.
What will happen with Landon Collins?
Yep.
Landon Collins is probably the most interesting question that you guys could ask me today, because I've always been of the belief that he would be back under the tag. He told us, the media, in front of his locker after the season had ended, he'd have no problem playing for the franchise tag. And so that's about $11 million. But the Giants have right now only about $27 million under their cap. Now, we think they'll do something with Eli's deal, which will alleviate some of that money. But Gettleman said he wants to go in to the season with between $8 and $10 million of cap space. Now, my MO for years of covering this league was always a team usually wanted between $4 and $6 million of cap space. He says he wants between $8 and $10 million. I don't know why, but that's what he says he wants. That's his comfort zone. That doesn't give the Giants a lot of room to be franchising Landon Collins. So I'm starting to wonder now if that's not going to happen. Pat Shurmur said there have been discussions with Collins, so that's good. And I do think that that story that came out a week and a half ago about Collins coming in to clean out his locker, that's hogwash. He was there to get checked on by the trainers because, as you guys know, he had labrum surgery at the end of the season, and he comes in on a regular basis to get updates with the medical staff. That story was so incredibly overblown, it's not even funny. But, you know, whatever. I'm not sure right now, based on their cap problems, if Collins is going to be back. But if he's not, that's another huge hole on a defense that's already Swiss cheese.
I got to tell you, and I've said this already, and I know my team doesn't need safeties. If Landon Collins was available and he's a free agent and I'm the Jets, I'm jumping on him. The thought, forget Marcus May, the thought of having Landon Collins and Jamal Adams as my safeties is very appealing. I got to tell you that.
Well, you know, the only problem you'd have with Collins is that he's coming off two seasons of arm surgeries.
I understand.
Where he was unable to finish the 16-game schedule.
Well, May's coming off an injury, too.
You do have to worry a little bit about durability. And you know, Joe, he's a hitter and a tackler.
Of course.
He abuses himself.
I love Collins. I love him.
So you do have to worry about an injury factor in terms of shelf life for a guy who plays his style of football. And then the other thing you have to worry about a little bit is that he clearly is a box safety. And if you're going to have him do a lot of coverage, and last year, Curtis Riley was not a good free safety by any stretch of the imagination.
That's right.
So Collins had to cover a lot more areas of the field than he's supposed to.
Right.
And that exposes his weakness.
But he wouldn't be doing that with the Jets when you got Adams there. You know what I
mean? That's for sure.
You know?
Look, Curtis.
But those are the two questions you have if you're Gettleman, you know, and you're trying to figure out, do you commit the money to him?
Right. Well, they've got, and I'll ask you this, because Olivier Vernon has a huge cap number, and Ian Rappaport just tweeted, hey, the Giants are looking to trade Olivier Vernon. Is it more likely that they trade him, they cut him, or do you think they just keep him?
You know, I've gotten mixed signals on that because after the season, I was of the opinion that he would not likely be back and he would be a cap cut post June 1st, which will allow them to spread the dead money out over the next 2 years. Again, we've talked about the Giants cap situation. It's kind of tight. So if they were going to cut him, that's how they'd have to do it. But as we've gotten closer and closer now to the combine and the draft and free agency, I'm starting to feel like, you know what? Their defense is so ravished, and they need so much help, especially pass rushers. Maybe they're better off holding on to them, because look at the free agents who are coming out, who are edge rushers. They're probably all going to get tagged.
Yeah.
You know, Clowney's going to get tagged, I think. Ford's going to get tagged. So
DeMarcus
where are
Lawrence.
You going to – if you get rid of him, where's your pass rush coming from?
Yeah.
You're going to rely on your first round pick to be your lone pass rusher. That's a lot of pressure to put on a kid, don't you think?
No question.
Yep.
I mean, it's the challenge of this offseason, Paul, that they have a lot of holes to fill. They have some cap room, not a lot of cap room, and they did add some extra picks with the trade of Snacks Harrison and Eli Apple. They lost a pick by kind of getting Sam Beal early. So the challenge of rebuilding this defense, and I think you laid it out at the top of the spot that your priority, get a pass rusher right out of the gate. They have to fix this defense. I mean, the defense was the biggest issue this team had last year.
See, Olivier Vernon to me is a Robin to someone's Batman.
Right.
And JPP was Batman.
Right.
When they traded JPP last year and they asked Vernon to put on the blue cowl and cape, he couldn't do it.
Oh, you're right.
Because he's Robin. He's not Batman.
You are right about that.
And, you know, and that's the problem. It's not that he's not a good player. He's a good player, but he's not Batman.
Yeah.
So, you know, they need a Batman. So if you draft a Batman at 6 and you ask Vernon to be Robin again, maybe that's a good 1-2 punch. I could see that making more sense to me than getting rid of him. But again, I know his cap number's high, and if you just look at the production, the value's not there for the money. Bottom line is, guys, though, in my opinion, and from what I can tell, there are approximately three rounds of plug-and-play defensive players in this draft, which is why the Giants have to get a third-round pick. Maybe they trade two fours to get back into that third round, because to me, that's where they've got to get an extra defensive player to help supplement this unit. If they can't, they're probably still going to go into the season with a subpar defense. Mm.
Paul, enjoy the rest of your time in Indy. Yep. We appreciate it.
Always a pleasure, Paul.
Always good to talk to you, fellas. Hope to do it again soon.
See you, bro.
Paul DeTino is coming out firing, talking about the personality of draft
does
prospects.
Does not want the quarterback.
That's not a surprise.
No slam on the table quarterback.
The problem is, if you wait for the slam on the table quarterback, you may be waiting forever.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
That's the problem. I'm not saying you've got to force yourself to love a guy, but if that's the attitude you're always going to have, when are you going to be in the position? Because last year, picking number two.
Yeah, with all those guys that were sitting there.
In what appears to be a deep quarterback draft, that would have been the moment.
You know, the one thing I didn't ask him and I should have asked him is, what if the Cardinals do take Kyler Murray number one and Rosen's sitting there? Would you think about it? I didn't ask him that.
The reason why I would lean towards him saying no, Paul, not the Giants,
right,
is because of the whole, there was nobody in last year's draft they felt that way about. Well, he was in last year's draft.
True.
Eventually, you got it. What are you going to do? You're going to wait forever? Because think about the quarterbacks that are drafted. How many times are they slam the hand on the desk,
probably
guys?
More often the other way than not.
Yeah.
I mean, to be very honest with you.
Yeah.
I mean, the amount of first-round draft busts that have been quarterbacks, it's a lengthy list.
It's a lengthy list, but at the end of the day, you still are more likely to find your franchise quarterback in the first round than every other round.
Yeah, the Tom Brady situation is certainly an anomaly, if you will.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.